Blog Talk Radio.
Unmuted. Cora? Oh, there she is.
Okay.
Hey, Cora.
Quick question. Hi. You know, I've been in the truce 10 years. Of course, I don't celebrate any pagan holidays. But my granddaughter told me the other day that my great-granddaughter wanted $100 for Christmas. And I told her, I said, well, she had to wait till Purim to get that.
Hold on.
She said, well, no,
hold,
she wants it now.
Hold on, Corey. Can you answer this question, other lawyer?
Yes, sir.
Or I'll be right back. All right. Go ahead.
Okay. So I want to know, is it in my best interest to refuse to give anything out at Christmas time and just wait until Purim? Can I, you know, not count my finances, but anything? Should I just refuse to do anything now this month?
Yes, it's in your best interest to do according to your conscience.
Oh,
and obviously, this is something that is against your conscience, I would assume, right?
Right. Yeah.
So it's best to go with your conscience. Your conscience is telling you, obviously, you do not celebrate Christmas. Even though the people around you do celebrate Christmas, that's not something that you celebrate. So as much as people would ask for you to respect their wishes and their beliefs, I believe that that same respect should, you know, be reciprocated for your beliefs.
Okay.
So it's not that you don't want to give your, what is it, your granddaughter or your
niece? My great-granddaughter. Mm-hmm.
Your great-granddaughter. It's not that you don't want to give her the money. You are going to give her the money, but you're going to give it to her according to a time in which, obviously, you feel more comfortable according to your conscience.
Right. Okay. All right. Thank you.
No problem, Sister Cora.
Okay. Shalom.
All right. Thank you for your call. Shalom. All right. I'm not sure if Elder Ramar is there to bring in more callers or if we're just going to wait till Elder comes back. I'm not sure exactly how this is going to work, but no one is there to man the calls. I think we have to wait for the Elder. All right. I assume we're waiting.
All right, I'm here.
Oh,
boy, I'm here.
Okay.
All right, great.
I'm back. Okay. All right. Did we go through that call already, right?
Yes, sir.
Corey, okay, who we have here now, is that Andrew?
Yep, this is, can you hear me?
I can hear you, Andrew. Shalom.
Shalom. This is Andrew from New Hampshire.
And talk to me.
I just have a comment about this topic of feminism. You brought up a really good point about this being socially engineered. Like, this was not an accident or organic movement that just came about.
Yeah, but let me, I want to say something while you're breaking that down. I'm going to let you talk.
Yeah.
This is not an attack on women. What I want women to make be clear on that. Feminism was made to destroy not just the man, but the woman too. Hence the reason why so many women right now are taking psych meds and depression and all these others, because they come into the realization that they were lied to through the witchcraft of feminism. So, you know, I can separate the ideology from the people, from the sisters who want to do right, right? So, or the sisters, I can separate the two, and women can put down the ideology and cleave to the Almighty. I want to make that clear. All right. But go on.
Yeah. And I was saying that how this was not brought about in a natural way that I was reminded of when I, in my early 20s, I took some feminist classes in the at the university. And
yeah,
it was, I took them, I was interested in kind of stirring up the class a little bit with my perspective. So it was kind of fun. The teacher, me and her had some good debates, but she was, and the irony of it, she was a married woman who was married to a man, but she was teaching every class I took. She really taught this over what you talked about, the hyper-sexualized behavior, all the books we read promoted the independent woman. And they was really, the whole class was selling that lifestyle of being an independent woman. And that's going to be your best life if you're, if you follow this, this kind of way of this philosophy of life. And what I saw it as, I was always saying, this is destroying, I think this is going to destroy marriage, which is a big pillar to hold up, you know, a survival tool in society and just
yeah.
life in general. And I found
yeah.
it paradoxical with the teaching of the Bible that, you know, they sell this as freedom, but really you're getting put in bondage when you live, when a woman lives outside the purpose that God has designed the woman for, and same with the man. But
yeah.
true freedom, like the Bible teaches, true freedom is has to be within, living within moral boundaries. And that's why the law and being free, you only can be free within God's law. And that's like what people have a hard time wrapping their minds around, is we think we can easily be sold on this idea of freedom because it's our natural instinct to sin. So we say, oh, yeah, this is this promiscuity and all this lifestyle, being independent woman. This all seems appealing to our eyes, even though it's not. Even though, and then we look at marriage as bondage. But, you know, it's just interesting how the Most High works. And but it's a good
well,
shift that you,
yeah,
you know.
That's a good point. You have to think about this. Who does it actually benefit? I need you to think about this for a second. The Bible states that Babylon, the great mother of harlots, right? When you think about the mother of harlots, you more so think of a madam, right? Right? A madam over one big brothel. So who does this benefit? Think about it. If you are a woman who was living in a traditional society and had a propensity to like other women, but yet the whole society was more so geared towards traditional value and the fear of God, then you would have what? You would have a lack of women to choose from for that particular lifestyle. But under feminism, if you can convince women to not like men, then it would saturate society with more choices for the woman who likes a woman. Right? So it doesn't benefit the woman who want to be with a man. It benefits the women out there who like women. So I mean, think about this. And it also benefits the man who don't want a wife, who don't fear the Most High, who just want to deal with a lot of women. So it makes it where the world is so saturated with single women that he has his choice with as many women as he wants without the obligation to actually commit to that person. So who benefits from feminism? The evildoers, those who hate God, the Satanists. Women don't benefit from feminism, and not even the women who created it. There's a bunch of white women mm-hmm. who are now online speaking regret that their life didn't have the outcome they wanted because they don't have the family that actually brings satisfaction and happiness to a woman. Right? So good point. Thank you, my brother. Bless you. Great points. Oh, man. It's been a long time since I've seen these many calls. Boy, I mean, we're breaking the internet tonight, ain't we? Lord, have mercy. Hit the like button. All right? Hit the like button real quick, right? Hit the like button. Help me out here. All right? All right, let's go down the line. TC has a comment and or question. TC? And don't forget, we have an academy coming up. Elder Lawyer, I need you go over some of those topics we discussed earlier. We're still in here a little thick for Wednesday night, right? We're up with almost 2,000 people. We were over 2,000 not too long ago, but we thank you for your presence. Do not worship the Madonna. TC, comment, question. Floor is yours.
Okay, so Shalom, first and foremost. My question is actually for Elder Lawyer. I've seen the beautiful growth of this now man that I've been associated with the church for over 10 years. I've seen his growth. His biblical acumen is second to none. And I think of myself because I'm probably, I would venture to say Elder Lawyer is probably mid-30s. I'm probably 10 to 12 years older. But one thing, many things I see a very stoic man. I see a very patient man. I see a very respectful man. I see a very continent man. I could imagine that he probably goes to sleep at 9 o'clock every night. So the reason why this question is for Elder Lawyer is because I think Elder Lawyer is the epitome of what all men should ascribe to be. I know that he's married. I know that he's very forthcoming and very involved in his children's life, and their astuteness is, again, second to none. So this question is for Elder Lawyer because I even think that I can learn something because I came from a generation where we were much more wild, much more free, on many different secular levels, and I'm trying to reel these things in. So I think that the women need to listen and hear what a man like Elder Lawyer has to say. And this is, so this is the question I have. What makes your relationship work? What are the responsibilities that you have? What is your, you know, day-to-day schedule without going into absolute, you know, personal situations that women could kind of look more so towards an individual like yourself, who I believe is an absolutely God-fearing man who is underneath the tutelage of another great man, Elder Rakaw? That's my question.
Lawyer, you want to answer the question? What do you do on a daily basis? Elder? Did Lawyer step away? Hold on. Sometime he does that. He probably had to use the bathroom. Hold on, Trent, okay?
Okay.
1 second. I'll tell you what. I'll place you on hold. Don't go anywhere. Soon as Lawyer come back, I'm going to pull you back up to ask that question, answer the question, all right?
Okay.
Because he probably stepped away. He was sitting for 2 hours in the scripture. He's probably... I had to go to the bathroom, whatever the case is, and I came back. So he probably used my cue to go. So hold tight, and I'll bring you right back. You can ask that question, okay? It is a good question. I know most people would like to hear that. So hold tight, and I'll break. As soon as you come back on, I have him answer the question. All right, Trent?
All right, 100. Thank you, Elder.
Thank you, my brother. All right, hold tight. Just hold there. I'll make sure I bring you back. All right. I'll hold Trent for a second, and we're going to come back to that. Rachel has a comment. And the brother Berean, if he want to come in and tell us where the 12 tribes of Israel are, I'd be more than happy to help him with that. I know there's some whack doctrine out there that the 12 tribes are in Africa, which is knowledge from the pits of hell, okay? Talking about all 12 tribes are there. And wrong answer. All right, Rachel, you have a comment.
Yes, hi. Hello, elders. Shalom.
How you doing? Shalom.
Good. I have been following you guys I've been in the truth since 2020. I've never called in. This is my first time calling in. I guess my comment would be like, so I am not like a feminist woman, right? I don't believe in like feminism, and I'm an American, like I'm in America and my husband is in Jamaica. And, I literally, anything, you know, that is asked of me, I do, right? And I guess my question, you know, I have a comment, but I guess my question would be, because I didn't think I had a question, but I guess my question would be, you know, how to continue to stand, you know, as a woman in the faith and trying to support, you know, her husband. Like, I'm a psalmist, and but I'm obedient, right? Like anything he says to me, anything he tells me, I obey. But like I'm in a place where like financially, like I carry everything. Financially, I do everything, but I'm still obedient, right? I don't.
Okay, so let me go there real quick. Let me go there. You say he lives in another country.
Yes, and I'm in the U.S.
How often do you see him?
Every 2 months. Like, I literally make it my mission to get on a plane and go to Jamaica every 2 months.
Okay, so why don't you just go to Jamaica and live with your husband?
Because of his family.
Well, there's so many levels to this, okay? And I don't want to offend you in the matter. But all in all, if you're in another country taking care of a man, there's a lot of dynamics that can be going on that you don't even know about.
Correct.
Okay? And I don't want to put some speculation out there.
Right.
But if he is someplace else and telling you the reason why you need to stay separated and come to Jamaica with your money to support him, something that doesn't pass the smell test.
Right.
Because how many times we see people from other countries got a whole family and everything else and get with an American woman to be funded. I'm not saying that's happening, but there's a great possibility that that's exactly what's going on.
Right. I have a lot of questions and I have a lot of red flags, but it's like,
well, this,
we've been
but this is what I'm saying.
6 years.
But what I'm saying is, but let me tell you this though. If this is what you want, I'm not going to get in the way of that. If you're already, you're agreeable with them and this is the arrangement you both have come comfortable with and you don't worry about that, then hey, but what I'm saying is you have to think about long term whether or not this is what you want for yourself.
Right, and that's the wisdom that I need because I don't have anybody speaking in my ear concerning it.
Well, the wisdom that you need is to speak to him and said, a woman leaves her father and mother and cleaves to her husband and become one flesh.
Correct.
And you can't have my money without me.
Right.
So I don't mind utilizing what I have to help taking care of you, but but my money can be utilized to invest where I'll know that you are actually doing something to get on your feet to one day provide for both of us.
All right?
So
yes,
you have to think about whether or not you become an ATM machine, and that's something that you have to decide and discuss with him respectfully.
Well, that's how I feel. That's how I feel.
Yeah. So what you have to do at this point is, and I'm sure he knew that this conversation would come around sooner or later, right? So the whole thing is you just like any other woman, you have to say, well, you know, the way this relationship, you know, has gone up until this point has run its course. It's time for something more. What more looks like? But only you can have, but you have to have that discussion with him. All right?
Okay. Yes, sir.
All right. Okay.
All right.
Bless you. But that's good that you're humble and you're respectful, but you know, in turn, he has to respect you, right? So,
yes,
all right?
Yes,
okay.
Sir.
All right. Okay, so. Hey, Lawyer, you there?
Yes, sir. Shalom.
Oh, Shalom. I don't know. Did you hear what Trent asked?
No, sir.
Well, what he asked in a nutshell is that he's watched your growth since you were a teenager and the fact that you become a great family man and you know, he gave you some, you know, some great accolades and compliments, which I agree. And he was wondering, what is it you do on a daily basis? And made, without going through all the whole thing for the sake of time, Trent, what was the last question you had for him, if you can? What was the question of what he does, what he do on a regular basis?
Oh, okay.
Trent,
you can
ask that question. Just ask the question part that you can answer.
Got you. I'll concise it. Yeah. So essentially, you know, just it's obvious that you're a very stoic man. You've been underneath the tutelage of Elder Recall from a very young age, which has probably mitigated a lot of relational issues because you learned early underneath the tutelage of Elder Recall. I made a lot of mistakes. I'm about 10 to 12 years older than you. And I can see that you're extremely respectful. Know the scriptures. It's obvious that your children are at a higher capacity learning-wise. You're a very patient man. And it's almost kind of like the antithesis of what women have been told to look for in a man. And I think you're probably the idyllic man to look for. And I know you have a successful marriage. So my question is, maybe you can like tell the audience as well as myself, because I can learn, what are like your day-to-day dealings and what has it been to lead to the success that you have and your patience and your fervor? So that's my question. Because I think women should be looking for a man like yourself and not men of the world, if you will.
Elder Lawyer?
Well, yes, that is a very good question. And first and foremost, I try not to, you know, I don't take credit for anything. First and foremost, all praise be to the Most High. And as you mentioned, I have grown up under the tutelage of an Elder Rakash Yar, which a lot of not just men, young men, people in general, just don't have that opportunity to be able to witness and be under someone with consistent, persistent instruction, almost on a regular, pretty much on a regular basis. So that has helped immensely. And so as far as a day-to-day basis, my day-to-day dealings is primarily the work, you know, either study, personal study, either dealing with day-to-day duties, responsibilities that I have in the work. That's pretty much the course of my day. When it comes to family, obviously I have a wife who is a believer as well, who is in the faith, in the truth. And that's the start, I believe, of any successful relationship, being on one accord, being of the same mind, building on and being on the same foundation, which is Christ. That's first and foremost. Secondly, my wife, I believe she respects my opinion, even if she may not agree with everything, that all of my opinions and thoughts. At the end of the day, she is willing to say that I trust you enough that I'm going to respect your opinions, even in places where I may not understand or even agree. And that's okay. Women, contrary to what some may believe, they're actually human beings as well, with their own personal thoughts, their own ideas of how things should be. And again, that's fine. So that's to be respected as well. But at the end of the day, she's willing to you know, respect my opinion and thoughts in certain areas and matters, enough that even if she may not understand, she will, you know, acquiesce. So, you know, that's pretty much it. As far as children, man, I'm still learning. Fatherhood is a new journey. So, maybe ask me in 5 years, as far as children go, the best course of action, but it's a new experience that I'm navigating and still learning to navigate. Even yeah. with all the information and all the knowledge, it's you're learning every day on how to navigate fatherhood. So,
yeah. The children are homeschooled and he raising chickens. All right, thank
yes,
you,
sir.
Trent. Thank you, Trent. I hope you answered your question.
There it is.
All right,
absolutely,
so
100%. Thank you.
Shalom. All right, let's go down the line. 954 area code. I already had Rachel. John has a question. And after that, Jaden.
Hey, Shalom, Elder.
Shalom, Yawanathon. How are you?
I'm doing good. I know you don't like to veer too much away from the subject of the broadcast, but
I don't.
I wanted to know, now that I know that a jubilee is consists of 50 years, I wanted to know, where did the 50 years initiate? Where did the initial jubilee start from? Was it like after the creation of Adam and Eve, or was it
always? It always existed from the beginning. You got seven Sabbaths, and then you have another day to round off those seven Sabbaths. It has always been that way.
Okay.
In years.
Jubilee
since
initially started after the
even in the heavens
first
when you're going. When you go into the Book of Enoch, it relates to what was shown to Noah and Moses and others later, right? So time is calculated from the beginning in Jubilees. And matter of fact, you go to the Book of Jubilees, it'll tell you that, like in the beginning.
That was one more question I wanted to get you to clear up real quick. In the Book of Jubilees, I was reading where it says, quote for quote, it says, "And all the days of the life of Sarah were 127 years. And then it says, that is 2 jubilees and 4 weeks and 1 year. These are the days of the years of the life of Sarah." I was trying to see how could I make that, like, I'm trying to understand, how does that add up to 127 years?
Okay, I can easily do that, but understand that right now, it's speaking of the jubilees of years from the time of creation. It's calculating her death from there. So I can show you that, but right now I'm not doing the calculations and numbers today. I don't have jubilees up, and I don't have my board behind me. That's a class question. Are you in the academy?
Not yet. I plan on signing up for my first one.
Okay. Well, the next time I'm going into numbers and all that and have my board in front of me, I can show you how to calculate the time according to Jubilees using that first as an example. But I don't have it in front of me right now. Okay? In fairness.
All right. Okay.
All right?
Thank you. All right.
Thank you, my brother.
Thanks.
All right. Thank you, my brother. Shalom.
Shalom.
All right. Thank you, my brother. That's all right. Let's go now to Jaden.
Shalom.
Shalom, Jaden. How are you?
Yeah, so I had a comment about when you was reading Reuben and how it hit home. So I'm 20, so my generation's pretty wild right now. And I remember a couple of years back I had a problem and I had to go to the hospital.
Okay.
Down in my, can you hear me?
Yes, yes. Go on.
Oh, it was down in the Jules area. And the first question he asked me before anything was, when was the last time you relieved yourself? And I've never done that. So I was, hello?
Hold on. It is a family show. What are you talking about? What are you talking about? Who said what?
So my thing about how much I was getting to the point where how much lust has, and I wouldn't say ruined my generation, but affected my generation to where the
the generation. Where did we get to a point where someone is talking about relief? What are you talking about here?
No, so I was saying. I had like a medical emergency.
You had a medical emergency. Who's talking to you?
The doctor.
What was that have to do with anything?
No, because when I was, when you
no,
were
I'm
talking
saying.
About
to... Now, I don't understand why a doctor would be talking to you about something personal. Did it have
Me
something
either.
To do with your, did it have anything to do with your injury?
Yes, that's what I'm, yes.
Okay, all right. So it was something medical that would relate to
yes.
how he could treat you based on, okay, all right. All right, anything else?
So, I'm sorry if I offended anything.
No, that just hit me left field. I mean, I just, what is the last thing I thought
was,
I would
my
know?
My question was, since I'm about to go to Germany, and I'm really not – it's a big time difference in the area, and I was seeing if there was any churches in that area or in that region where I could continue to learn more.
Yeah, I think we have people in close there. I know we have a church in the Netherlands.
Well, I'm not going to be there long, but I'm going to be there for about a month. I currently live in Atlanta.
Okay. All right. Well, are you in the church over in Atlanta?
No, not yet. My grandma, she keeps taking me to Sunday church, but it's not really, I'm not getting what I need there.
Okay. Well, I'll tell you what. Would you like to congregate with the Atlanta Church?
I would. I used to in Virginia, but that was a while back.
Okay. I think you need to get another hospital, too. Hold on. 1 second. I know they wild down in Atlanta, but Lord.
Yeah, three different doctors. Hospitals.
Doctors, too?
Doctors. Surgeons.
Lord, morning time. Hold on. Something about... Let's see. All right, Jaden. I'm going to have him call you, okay? I'm going to have him call you. You can congregate. I have Bishop Baruch who will reach out to you and get some congregating going on and some prayer with you. All right?
Yes, sir. Thank you.
All right, my brother. Shalom.
Shalom.
I was blindsided on that one. Hey, I don't know if you heard that, other lawyer. Hopefully you went to the bathroom again. But, you know, you never know what you're going to find on these calls, you know. I'm trying to navigate through.
Yeah.
You know, you got your doctors coming in there with, you know, snapping his gloves on. Operating uncomely, you know, outside of the Most High's word, asking questions. All right, let me, 607, don't worship the Madonna is the topic. I'm trying to get this thing back on course. Kenneth has a comment. Yes.
Shalom, Berean, can you hear me?
Yeah, Berean, we were waiting for your phone call, Berean. Let us know who the 12 tribes are. Where you at? Witness Protection Program? Yes, Ken, how you doing?
I'm doing well, Elder Rakar. How are you?
I'm blessed by the Almighty. Do me a favor. Just back up from the phone a little bit. A lot of breathing happening there. Back up just a little bit.
Is that
how
better?
You doing? That's excellent.
I'm doing well, sir. Thank you for asking. I wasn't originally going to call in tonight. I wanted to let everybody else have a chance to speak. But what you were saying about that that goddess, so-called goddess Eris,
yes.
It sparked some memories of mine that I had from growing up playing a specific video game called Final Fantasy VII.
Okay.
And I wanted to bring that to your attention because within that video game... It's titled Final Fantasy, which you touched on in the Testament of Reuben, a spirit of fantasy. And in that game, they drop a lot of different stuff. One of the characters in the game, her name is Eris. And she meets the main character, whose name is Cloud Strife.
Okay.
And you said that Eris was the name... the goddess of causing strife.
Yes.
And in the video game, the main premise of the story is a entity falls from outer space and they start using that entity to start injecting soldiers with the genetics of that entity and creating super soldiers.
Now that's interesting. I mean, I was called to pause for a room. I didn't know where you were going with the fantasy thing after these last few phone calls. I feel safe right now. I'm like, listen, are we going to dim lights around here? Good. Well, I feel good. So what you're saying is this goddess Eris would come to Earth and inject men with something that would become super soldiers to be utilized at the end for. That's deep in of itself.
Yeah, Eris is what one of the names of the characters of the people they called the Ancients. And one of the people that essentially originally fell. And the main ancient or person that fell originally, which they use as like the test subject zero, get this, Elder. The name of that test subject is called Genova.
Look at that. That's deep in of itself, because I was showing how they were celebrating this woman by the name of Eris the goddess. I mean, by the name of Marianne Williamson, who's running for president. I don't know if they're speaking in code. Meet Eris the goddess behind the force. Knowing that this woman under Greek mythology is utilized to utterly destroy the men within society and cause chaos. Who want that as president? Especially after Biden and Kamala. Right? Right? So I need you to think about this. Right? And this goddess, right? You know, a lot of them deal with these deities, right? These, like we're talking about. They worship and do sacrifice, a lot of them, to these things under these secret societies and all. But it tell you that she's the goddess of strife and discord. Her Roman equivalent of Discordia, which means the same, opposite of harmonia. And imagine how they targeting our sisters, and people wonder why our sisters are, as they claim, not agreeable, this, that, and the other, not realizing they're being attacked with the spirit or being programmed to walk in the spirit of Eris. The sick goddess running around looking to abuse men. Okay? And one thing about this spirit of Discordia, there's some information out concerning the high rates when it comes to DV amongst women who are, I don't know how it's possible, but are married to other women, how there's an uptick in fisticuffs going down, you know, when it comes to, when the police come, you know what I mean, it's a free-for-all, and he don't know who to take. He don't know who's right or wrong, because usually you can side with the woman and move the man out. But I heard there's an uptick in DV and violence amongst women. And I believe it's because of this spirit that have been let loose between Kelly and Eris. Is an ideology of the goddess that have now destroyed society, and it's now seeping into the children. And man, it's a hot mess. There's no way America will be retrieved. What say you? Last word.
Yes, sir. It's all connected, as you continually show us through the spirit. It's really a humbling experience to see all of the stuff that I grew up playing, these video games, you know. And I'll yield with this, Elder. 1 Corinthians chapter 13 and verse 11. When I was a child, I spake as a child. I understood as a child. I thought as a child. But when I became a man, I put away childish things.
Exactly. Thank you, my brother. Bless you.
Good. You great too, time. Elder.
All right. Going down the line now that I'm, okay, thank you, Ken. May the Most High bless you, bless all of you. And we do have a new Hebrew and Bible Academy coming this January 7th. You don't want to miss it. Elder Lawyer, if you can, you can run down some of the topics before I end it with a few calls.
Yes, sir. Again, we have a new Hebrew and Bible Academy coming up January 7th. Some of the new lessons we're going to be covering consist of UFOs in the Bible.
UFOs in the Bible. We're going to look at that again. Go on.
The Jewish relationship with the tribe of Judah.
The historical Jewish relationship with the tribe of Judah. First time taught in the academy. You want to be there to hear that particular lesson. Go on.
Roundtable discussion on the purpose of man and woman.
And we're going to have some special guests come in for that roundtable. And I'm going to try to get them in. I'm going to talk about that in advance, a different round table. It's going to be resounding. And I hope, you know, we can come to some level of resolve and stop fighting one another. We're on the same team. Well, at least I thought we were. What's next?
Breakdown of the 24 elders.
We're going to go into the heavenly realm, breaking down the celestial hierarchy according to what? According to what's in the scriptures, in extra biblical text, and really specifically honing in on who are the 24 elders before the throne. You don't want to miss that. What's next?
The prophecies of Daniel and the secrets of time.
The prophecies of Daniel, as we're going into the 70 weeks of Daniel, breaking down the secrets of time and the secrets of time, how to calculate time according to the heavens. Because the Romans 7 and 25, they thought to change time and laws. Well, the Most High, he gave us the calendar so that we can straighten all of this out. Okay? And we're dealing with the 70 weeks of Daniel, taught like you've never seen before. The seals have been broken and the truth is here. There's nothing you can't get from that Bible today. Okay? There's nothing. Everything. It's open to learn if you're willing to yield your spirit to the obedience of the Almighty and open yourself to understand that we've been lied to. Okay? So we're going to go back into Daniel, break the whole thing down. When it comes to these Christian theorists and all these others, throw it to the side. Jesuits, Catholics, and all of that, throw that to the side. Get what we're teaching you. They don't teach what we're teaching, even in a theologian school. And you as a student, learning this word, I can guarantee you there's no theologian school anywhere, students from it, that could actually contend with what you're learning. Right? What's next, Elder Lloyd?
Last but not least, we have walking with the commandments and Christ.
Walking with the commandments and Christ. All right. Thank you, Elder Lloyd. Is that you?
No, sir.
Okay, who's that you over there?
I can guarantee there's no theological school anywhere
that's
actually
consistent
with the
letter.
I heard that. Oh, that's who that is. Oh, that was you, Ramar. You must have hit it by mistake. It's okay. All right, we have LJ and Amna Wa'ala, Emmanuel. LJ?
Yes.
The floor is yours, LJ.
Hi, Salawam, Elder Rakashiar, and Elder Lawyer. This is a great lesson tonight. I follow you guys. I got baptized last year. And the journey, thank you. So one of the questions you posed was, you know, well, you said don't worship the Madonna. One of the things I've noticed when I came into the church before that, I actually had a female pastor. And I could say throughout my journey of finding the truth, she was actually the first person that had ever even told me about holy days and about the name of the Most High and Christ. And that was baffling to me. And she still tried to maintain an order. So her biggest thing was to make sure that you understood the Godhead. You understood that, you know, it was the Most High. It was the man, then the woman, and that the man was your covering. And I think presently, because we live in such a society where there's no fear of the Most High and people don't have relationship with the Most High, even believe it. Everyone is on this frequency and energy levels and, you know, manifestations and stuff like that, and just a lot of like this witch and crazy beliefs. No one is believing in the nucleus of the family. So it's easy to set aside, you know, the power of having the nucleus of a family and having the man as the head. So the man kind of gets pushed to the back. The woman is pushed to the front. And it's just everything the woman wants. And we know that Satan used the woman in the garden. So it's easy to put the woman in the forefront, to just put all kinds of unrighteous things right now in society. And I'm telling you, I'm a married woman, and I'm not evenly yoked with my husband. And it is a journey. It's a battle to
hold
be
up,
on the same page.
Hold up. Let's slow up. Because when you say you're not evenly yoked with your husband, right?
Yes.
Okay. Mm-hmm. So whose fault is that?
Well, okay, the fault, my husband and I had this discussion. My husband married me under a high Anishaya. He's also a foreigner, so he was raised as a Muslim, and then he converted to Christianity.
Okay,
so when he met
you
me,
say, without you going into everything for the sake of time,
okay. Right.
Where is the unequally yoked coming in at? That's what I need. Go directly to that.
Unevenly yoked, meaning like, you know, my walk is different than his walk. He gets what I'm saying, but he, of course, is not as in depth with the understanding as I am.
Okay. I like to get straight to that, because
okay.
There's a such thing as in the book of Corinthians that states if a woman has an unbelieving husband, that he's covered through your prayer.
Right, I believe that.
Exactly.
Yes.
Now, that's why you have to be careful what you say in public about your husband, right? Because even if he doesn't understand what you understand, right?
Mm-hmm.
You
mm-hmm.
don't want to undermine him before people in public. That's number one. And number two, there's still things you are responsible for that you can do regardless of what he believes in. You can still be submissive. You can still...
Absolutely.
Because I'm sure he's doing a lot of those duties that the scriptures that you believe in talks about without even following religiously, if you want to use that word, exactly what you're mm-hmm. following. Correct?
John, I
yeah.
agree. I agree.
Well, I'm just saying. What I'm saying is we have to be what you would call to some degree, right? We have to be respectful to the absent. And... he's still a good man for you. So
right.
I didn't want to come off
like I was not respecting my husband, because I respect my husband. He calls on the high in Yeshua when we pray.
Okay. I need you to understand what I'm saying, why I had to come in and correct that. It has nothing to do with it. It has something to do with you, but it's because I'm speaking to thousands of people. And one thing that not some of us, what we do is, will say something in public not realizing how it can, even without intention, disrespect the person who's in our corner. Right? Right. So
okay.
just make sure you honor him, even in his absence. And that's going to make it come around, because who knows, one day he may fall on this and hear this, and it can push him even further away and make it more difficult for you to reach him. Right?
Okay.
Yeah, just be patient with him. He's still with you. He's taking care of bills, right?
Yes.
And exactly. So, hey, he sounds like he's yoked to me. All right? He's taking care of the duties of a man. He isn't where you are yet, but he'll get there. I've seen it. And it's how you respect and honor him. That in of itself can be what? That can be the thing that turn him to the full truth. And I've seen it happen before. But you have to honor him in his absence. You are his representative.
Absolutely.
Right?
Maybe evenly yoked was not the best
word to use. Thank you.
It was the wrong word
to
use. Yeah,
right.
Maybe it was the wrong word. I was just always told, like, when you're not in the truth together, or if you're not in the same church and that sort of thing, that you're not evenly yoked. That's
yeah.
why I put it that way.
Yeah. Well, it's more
not that
so
he's not a believer, because he does believe,
exactly.
and he does support me, and we do pray.
And
you so it's, yeah, okay.
There you go. He's a good man. All right, bless you.
I would love to hear that.
Right.
Thank you.
All
bless
right.
you guys.
Bless you.
Shalom.
All right. Shalom. I'm the one, Allah. has a comment and or a question.
Hello.
Hey, how are you? Floor
I'm
yours.
So I have more like a story, and it's kind of one that really upsets me. I'm from the state of Maryland. I find myself here in Los Angeles, California.
Okay, come on. You got to pull it out of you. Let's do it. Let's talk.
Yeah. And
bring it.
I find myself, you know, in a state or a position without necessarily a home. So
when you say not necessarily a home, what is that?
So I've been staying in like hostels, but you know, it's not like permanent because I can't sufficiently fund it for a long period of time. But
you've been staying in what?
In hostels or hostels. It's like shared rooms with like.
Okay, so what you're saying in a nutshell, let's get straight to it. Right now, you don't have a place to stay. That's what you're saying.
Yeah.
Okay.
But that's not
okay.
Really where I'm
okay,
going.
Okay, go
I'm
on.
Just, you know, general gist of the. So I found myself like here on the streets of LA. I made myself a little campfire, and to me, what I perceived as a woman, who was really a man, drove up to me and really offered me, I guess, sexual acts in a way. And honestly, like, at first, I kind of had my doubts, but I was really out on the streets. And I was warm. I mean, I was like, I had my little campfire, but I wasn't really like comfortable or anything. So
hold up. Let's slow this roll for one moment. This is as far as we're gonna go in this story. As far as you said a man came up to you, like what they would call a transsexual.
Yeah.
And that's as far as. And he propositioned you with you being, you know, not having a place to stay or whatever the case is. I'm sure this is as far as we go with this, right?
That's the gist of it.
Okay. Okay, of course you told him, well.
Well,
right.
I was very lustful and very unsure of myself where I felt like I was tricked in a sense because I did enter the vehicle not really knowing.
Well, this is what we're going to do, brother. All right.
Yeah.
You okay now? You entered the vehicle. Did you get out of the vehicle immediately when you realized what you was up against?
Yeah.
Okay. All right. And
well,
he put you out of the vehicle or you said,
I'm on the phone. Sorry.
How long? Let me ask you this. How long were you in the vehicle before you realized that
it wasn't
type of man thing going on?
It wasn't more than.
Well, let's do this, Emmanuel. I'm going to make sure because I'm going to make sure the people in California reach out to you to get you a little prayer going on. And see what we can do about your circumstance, all right? Because we don't want we don't want nobody just rolling around trying to expose, trying to take advantage of vulnerabilities. Hold on. And your name is Emmanuel. Great name. Brother, I'll tell you what, brother, hold the line. And I'm going to make sure someone reach out to you almost as soon as possible, okay? Bishop Lucas is going to call you. All right. Okay, all right. Let's see what time it is. We're getting into the series. We're getting into the deep hours here, obviously. All right. Hello, I'm about to play a little Houdini up in here. Dun, 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 dun. Lord, in the morning. 414 area code. Hold the line. Carol has a question and or comment. I know we started off with don't worship the Madonna. I guess he's talking about the changing of kind. I guess that's how we're tying it together. Oh, yeah, they're bold now. Watch out. Carol has a question and or comment. It's a shame because Elder Lawyer, what's going on right now is because I need you to check this out, Elder Lawyer.
Mm-hmm.
The movement, the civil rights movement was supposed to be a thing where under the Moynihan report that they would actually make sure that there's upward mobility and financial opportunity for black men to be respected from their peers, white men, as well as their own women, to strengthen the family. That's what civil rights was for. They came in with Steinem and these feminists where the white woman becomes a minority now, and now she has access over some of what we would call the institutions in our community now to determine where the money goes, because now she's a minority, only to open it up for gays and then give our women the opportunity that we were supposed to have in order to be a respected part of society in respect of our families, right?
Right.
Now, it's to a point where now the men who died for civil rights are out in the streets with no opportunity at all, as was planned by our enemy, so that in order for them to get anything, they have to go to the women or be propositioned by those who are actually batting for the other team. This thing is over.
It's crazy.
Civil rights at civil rights at work. All right? And the target was to make sure we didn't have access to finances as men to protect our families. We would have been out of this crap if they didn't come in with their end arounds to actually cut that pie out, that pie up called, under the guise of minority. Now they talk about black and brown people now. East Indians and everything else, any pygmies, you name it. Anybody can now become a minority in America now. Lord, Sunshine.
Hello?
Come on, bring it. Bring it, Sunshine.
Let's go. So alive. Hi, Elder. Hi.
Hey, what's going on? Talk to me.
Oh, okay, Elder. Oh, wow. It's partly humorous to see how outrageous it has become with how far that we as women have gone and continue to go with screams for attention disguised as creativity with our costly arrays. But it's also very serious because it has crept up right under us, and it's indeed the honing of craft with every nuance and emotion. If desirous of the flesh, a woman can become a master manipulator to such a degree that we deceive our very selves and do so in choosing to be a lie in any and every way, embodying the serpent. And the lies grow and change to adapt the woman as an unmatched chameleon on earth to any situation for a selfish gain of what she alone desires. And the selfishness goes deep, and she's in it, and she takes no prisoners. And as the adaptation then continues in practice and reaches its height, in a woman, she becomes like a reprobate, and that, with her power, gone to her head above all except for truth, or truth in a man who is fervent and a servant of Christ in the Most High, she becomes more violent and bitter and dangerous to any unsuspecting, uncovered, or exposed man. And she then can eat men unto death and by doing as thou wilt with them, and then without batting a literal eyelash, move from one target to the next and dragging him down to hell. Because any man becomes to her the feed of her perpetual freak goddess blood sacrifice from you know, that hot girl summer to no fault, left and right divorces. She keeps rolling like a rolling stone. And without the beauty and consistent guidance keeping us in and out of the liberalist delusion with regular washing of the word, any woman can fall off the righteous path and into the spirit of the mother of harlots. And the sin of Eve is indeed strong unto wickedness, and it percolates in our veins, but the word of the Most High is the strongest, casting asunder every wicked imagination that attempts to uplift itself. And by the grace and enduring mercy of Ahiah through his son Yeshaya, any woman with hope towards the kingdom to come and love of truth and the truth giver, respecting men who the Most High sets for us and for us to follow, and loving correction by our head, we can bow in humility and thanks for his grace unto us. And by his grace for all the days of our lives, we would hear our Father's voice clearly, cherish the word, be wise but harmless, and with all the gifts and talents he has bestowed upon us, by his grace we may honor him, glorify him, and be a pleasure in his sight. And that's all I had to say, Elder. Oh, praise the Most High. Oh, for his grace.
There you go, sunshine. All right, I only got a few, so I'm going to just drill through these real quick. The doc has a question.
Yeah, how you doing, brother? Shalom.
I'm doing well. How are you doing, sir?
The question is, how do you stay righteous in such an evil feminist world? And when can brothers respect each other and stand up as men and have mercy for each other and speak like men?
Well, the bottom line is, that's a good question. The bottom line is you only have control over your person. Okay. The world, it doesn't frustrate me. It doesn't frustrate me in some ways in understanding that only, it's frustrating, but it doesn't, with me realizing that only a remnant can be saved. And you only, what you're seeing is within your power to do. That's how. You have to follow the law, statutes, and commandments. You have to establish righteousness. You have to establish what a relationship is by how you interact with others. And if enough of us do this, that's the remnant. That's the answer. You have to do it. Listen. I've given up waiting for the world to change all at once. It'll never happen. Okay. It's within us to become that the ambassadors. All right? And do what's right. Set a foundation in our own home, starting with the Ten Commandments. All right?
Yeah,
that's
well,
the
that
answer.
Part I'm doing already.
It is?
And is there a possibility that brothers can fellowship?
Well, we have a church. You're in Philadelphia?
Yeah.
Have you come to the church in Philadelphia?
No, I ain't never been there.
You want a fellowship? I can text your number to Bishop Amoth right now, and we can make it happen.
Right.
Let's fellowship.
Yes, huh? Please do. Please do.
And your name is Zadok. Were you named Zadok, or that's the name you took on?
That's the name I took on.
Okay.
When I when I came in the truth and woke up. And it's
a serious name right there.
The sister told me that she said he was pronouncing it wrong. And it should be Ruach, and she said, no, it's a doc. I said, you know what? I'll take that.
Well, right now, you know, it's fine. It's a doc. That's a serious name. That's the priesthood of Aaron. These are the ones who fled during the time of Babylon and was named the Essenes.
Okay.
Yeah. All right.
All right, brother.
They kept the priesthood alive until Christ came on the scene. They were the real deal, the sons of the doc. Well, thank you, brother. I text your number to Bishop Amoth. And let's see. No. Hold on. Let me make sure. They'll be calling you. Hold on. Here you go. Let's fellowship. My brother.
All right, my Shalom. Brother. Shalom. Shalom, brother. Got a lot
Let's
of love
it.
And respect for you. Won't stop
Thank
following.
You, sir. Thank you, my brother.
Won't
Let's do it. Hey. Hey,
Long
brother. Thank you.
Brother Rakai.
Hey, man, we all we got, right? Shalom. Yes. Let's do it.
Shalom. Right.
Shalom. Tracy has a question or comment, and then after that, Lynn has a comment, and we'll end it there. There's no more calls. Tracy?
Hey. I've never heard of the Black Madonna until maybe 3 years ago. Putin started showing off his artwork, and yeah, he has a lot of art pieces that are biblical, that are black, and I was always wondering what the Black Madonna meant. But here in America, I've noticed a lot of the young girls, they're following, have you ever seen that tattoo Rihanna wears up under her breast?
No.
I think it's a tattoo of a woman by the name of Isis or Aset or Nefertiti.
Oh. Okay.
Are they under the same spirit as the Black Madonna?
Absolutely. Isis is the Egyptian name for Semiramis, the same demon woman.
That woman right there, I know at least four young women that they're into it, where they're buying the necklaces, they're buying the statues, they're setting up altars. That is what a lot of young girls are into. Have you done a podcast on that? And if not, can you do one? I've been trying to.
Guess what? That's the quickest rise in religion within our community. I did a lesson about that, the witches who are amongst us. Let me tell you, it's on YouTube. It's on our channel. Leaving the churches. Just go to our main page and under the playlist or under our videos, type in witches. These are witches. Okay. These are man-hating witches who are seeking to destroy humanity. That's what's going on in our community right now.
Is that spirit of the Black Madonna, or is it something just totally different?
It's the same spirit. A matter of fact, they call that spirit into presence, and it enters them. Okay? This is what goes on in witchcraft. They're taking on entities, not just one. Okay?
Wow.
Yeah.
I've even known a couple of them. They all might do it, but I know a couple of them actually have an altar for them where they light incense and I guess they pray to it or something.
Yeah.
So
you can find this in the predominantly chaotic, crazy, unconscious community. Even you got Umar Johnson running around out of his mind, stealing money for a school, pouring libations, disrespecting almost every grave within America, trying to pull libations on Harriet Tubman. She believes in the Bible. So he find all these people who are actually inspired by God and believe in the Bible to desecrate their graves with this libation madness. Him and the rest of the conscious community are out of their minds. And this is where you'll find the witches. Promiscuity and the things that's going on, like what you see with Dr. York, the Nuwabic, what happened with Polite. There's nothing polite about him, especially if your young daughter is around. This is the spirit of chaos in our communities.
Mm-mm-mm.
So, yeah. And believe it or not, sister, it's not just the women are doing this. You have men who are part of Egyptology and all that, go both ways and all that. And that's also a prominent part of the conscious community that they're actually hiding. The fact that the gay life and all that is a clear component of the conscious community. Matter of fact, I'm going to be talking about that next Wednesday. Witches and warlocks in the conscious community will be our lesson. AC, make sure you put that up for Wednesday. Witches and warlocks within the conscious community.
Because I would love to send a couple of them to watch it, because I just think there's something wrong with it. And, you know, they seem to, and they all say the same thing, that I'm not religious, I'm spiritual. And I'm like, yeah, but what spirit are you talking to?
The spirit, you know? The spirit from, the spirit from the seventh ring of hell. And another thing, you can find them when they wearing those bull rings and looking mad and all that. All those are indicators that an entity have entered. But don't worry about it. I'm going to deal with that next Wednesday, sister. Believe me. We're going to deal with that. All right?
Doesn't one of them have a son called Horus or something like that?
And yeah. Horus is another name for Talmuz. So Horus, just the Nimrod, Horus, all of them are the Yule child. It's just that it's the same Babylonian religion that came from the Tower of Babel once the tongues were split. The Babylonians call it Semiramis and Isis. I mean, Semiramis, Nimrod / Talmuz. And the Egyptians call it Isis, Osiris, and Horus. It's the same deities under a different society, the same demons.
Okay.
All right? Okay?
All right,
I'll talk about it next week. All right?
Thank you. You have a great day. Bye-bye.
All right. Oh, yeah. Next week, the witches and warlocks of the conscious community. You don't want to miss it. 540 area code.
Yes, sir. How are you doing?
I'm doing well, Lynn. Last call. What say you?
I was going to say something about the Tower of Babel and all that, but I forgot. But what I wanted to say with the feminism and things, I wanted to say something to our sisters.
Don't tell me. You've been waiting so long. Don't tell me, Lynn, you fell asleep. Did I wake you up?
No. I was just sitting here patiently waiting, brother.
I appreciate
y'all letting me talk. But
okay.
I just wanted to say something to my sisters, you know. What I wanted to say about the Tower of Babel, the worshiping of beasts. If you could do a show on that for the people and show them where a lot of these empires have failed. I mean, you even see it in the Native American culture with the totem poles and all these worshiping of the beast, you know, the bull always shows up. I think that's a big part of man's fall, and God has been here since the beginning trying to get us right. So, you know, that's just part of man. They just keep on going back to worshiping beasts. But as far as the feminist topic, we know that the black family has been broken up since slavery, so let's not pretend that this hasn't been going on since we've been here. And, you know, we had Dr. Frances Cress Welsing, or it was either her or Scheherazade Ali in a documentary that they did. And they said that feminism is the white woman's fight. It says, black women haven't been under the black man's thumb for 400 years. So sisters, we need to remember that. We need to remember since slavery that they have broken up the black family. And we have to remember in the 60s during the feminist time, when your brothers was fighting side by side with you in civil rights, and then all of a sudden here comes the feminists, you know, snatching you one by one out of the fold to get us to this point, because the sisters wasn't going for that because they knew better back then. They knew that they hadn't been under the black man's thumb, and they knew that they had been under the government and their master's thumbs forever, you know, since they've been here. And one more thing. Abortion has killed more than any other, you know, cause of death to my sisters.
We try not to use that word.
Yeah. Oh, I'm sorry.
Child abuse, you know, whatever the case is.
I'm very sorry for saying that, but
that's fine.
And then I have two questions. One is for Elder. All right. Did the song Ain't Nothing Going On But the Rent have anything to do with this? And then the other one is for my brother who's reading. Is bag chasing a form of selling your body? You know, I don't want to say the word.
Brother, let me tell you. I mean, I can tell you, man, you it's so poignant that you got straight to the point and you hit so many key details of what we were actually talking about. Number one, there was never a time where our people under chattel slavery where the black man was in power to abuse our women.
Right.
That's another lie the feminists did to gain the spirit of our women to their side to destroy us. And by destroying us, they would, you know, they, by proxy, get to the sons and destroy these same women they've convinced against men to destroy their sons also. Right? That was the witch move. The next thing you pointed out, through the music, there's nothing going on but the rent. Of course. You know why they started stating that? Because I mentioned earlier, but it tell you Babylon the Great is the mother of harlots. So the mother of harlots is a madam who's over what? Who's over a harlot house.
Yes.
So obviously you would turn relationships into what? Financial exchange, because that's what you do at a harlot house, where everything is about what you can do for me financially in exchange for sexual favors. Well, that's what a harlot house looks like. So it's been embedded, it's been planted in the music to initiate our women into this transactional mindset, and by doing so, they've lost part of themselves, their soul. The more you lose your purity when it comes to your body, a little piece of your soul goes with it. And that's what the feminists, that was their target the whole time, knowing that the prophets would come through the womb of our sisters. But you know what? Some of our mothers stood strong. And the Most High, guess what? The Most High brought the truth through those same wombs, the womb of these great women anyway. So we're not here to blame. What we're here to do is say, listen, we all made mistakes. Now let's get on code. Brothers and sisters, let's not point fingers. Let's point to what's wrong so to not go back down those paths and to draw more brothers and our sisters to the light, because this is the only thing that's going to work going forward. The old way doesn't work because men aren't participating like they used to. Thank you, my brother.
Yes, yes. I just wanted to say the truth is what will set us free in love, you know, but we have to have the truth put out here, and we have to talk like this to each other, because we could, you know, if you talk to your brother and sister this way, and this is the way we need to talk, you know, and I love y'all and appreciate y'all, and thank y'all, and keep up the good work.
Thank you, my brother. I appreciate you. Thank you. I'm glad I went through all these calls. I didn't want to miss this. This is a great way to end the call.
I appreciate you, brother. Thank you.
Bye. Thank you, Brother Lynn. Bless you. You can tell that brother's patient, wisdom. Hey, I'm glad he's on our side. With that, I'm going to say shalom. I'll see you all. Join the Hebrew and Bible Academy, historytimes.org. Thank you, Elder Lawyer. Thank you, Elder Dell. Thank you, Elder Yarak. Thank you, all the elders, bishops, all the people working behind the scenes. We are the children of Israel in the spirit of Christ, and we are back. Have a great evening. I'll see you on Patreon this Friday. Shalom.
Shalom.
Thank you, Elder Lawyer.
Yes, sir. Thank you.